Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with a Pensacola expert panel. I hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. I appreciate you joining me this morning. We are talking to Terrence, Attorney Terrence Gross with Gross and Schuster. If you have any questions for him, you can text us at 437-1620. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning. Glad to be here and glad to keep on broadcasting. And of course, spring is in the air. And because it's in the air, I have some announcements. So many of the listeners probably know of me. I've been a lawyer for 43 years here in Pensacola. I've actually been on talk radio since 1981. So I've always liked the radio venue. We don't do any billboards. We don't do any TV ads. And I do informationals, really. We do some 30 seconds or something. I don't really like them. I'd rather do talk shows like this. So where we can take phone calls or questions from people. But with spring in the air, the first week of May is also known as Law Week. And that's where, the nation supposedly celebrates it. Not many people do, probably just lawyers. I understand that. But we always like to give something, and what we've started doing in recent years is having an open house, mainly in our Pensacola office, where the public could come in, no appointment, and to bring in their car insurance, to bring in their homeowner's insurance, and we can give you free advice. So we have set aside that week of the first week of May, but to give you an example, we also have five locations. So on Tuesday, May the 2nd, that will be our main office, be Pensacola, which most of you probably already know is the corner of Palafox and Cervantes, 803 North Palafox. It was actually a county building. It looks like a courthouse. It was the Board of Health many, many years ago, and it morphed into various government entities until it was damaged severely in Ivan. And after Ivan, the county washed their hands of the building, and I was lucky enough to buy it. So a lot of times people want to come in and just have a tour. If you want to, it's got a lot of history in it. I had an elderly lawyer who wanted to come by, and he was in his 80s, and he went to my conference room. He goes, "I have memories of this room." I go, "What are your memories?" He goes, "I was vaccinated in this very room when I was 6 years old for smallpox." And it left an impression. At 6 years old, that's probably pretty horrific, and you're scared of the vaccination. But it was in that room, and that's our conference room today. So a lot of history there. So I personally will be available between 12 and 4. But I'm lucky that all three of my sons are my law partners. So they'll be there, and if two people come at the same time, we got plenty of lawyers to handle the questions. But if you come in with your car insurance, people are so confused. People use the word full coverage all the time. Agents use the word full coverage. And what I've always said is there's really no such thing. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. If you make $25,000 a year, I don't expect you to have a million of this and a million of that on your insurance policy. But if you're a very successful business person, whether you're a lawyer or not, you may have a million here, you may have a million there, just depending on your degree of paranoia and your net worth. But anyway, we'll go over everything given the circumstances. And many times, we could actually give advice on both homeowners and on car insurance, where maybe you can increase your coverage but lower your premium. So there's little tricks of the trade. So through car insurance, obviously, I know that backwards and forwards. I mean, I look at, half a dozen policies a week. People come in. We always ask that they bring their policy in, and then we start scrutinizing it. And unfortunately, every now and then, I'll see somebody that was really, really trying to have great coverage, and maybe they had some good assets or points to their coverage, but meanwhile there are deficiencies and so forth, and people just don't quite get it, and I may discuss a few of those in a minute or two. Meanwhile, homeowners, I am not a hurricane lawyer. So if you have hurricane damage, I haven't done that. My boys, I think, are very interested in doing that, but I've handled my own claims. So since I lived in my current house, I moved there in 89, I had to deal with Hurricane Opal, Hurricane Aaron. Unfortunately, I had to deal with Ivan, which took me years and years, and then more recently with Hurricane Sally. And I also have multiple properties, and right now I'm like all of you. I mean, I'm getting either cancellations or they're doubling and tripling the premiums. So I got some ideas how to work with that, and every case is going to be different. Every property is going to be different. And I'm kind of doing that with all my situations, making the decisions on how to proceed, because these rates are just draconian. And people on fixed income, I pity them, because you kind of retired and you say, well, I know I'm getting this from Social Security, and I know I'm going to get this through my pension, and I can do this. I can retire. And all of a sudden, you never thought that your $1,600 a year premium on your house was going to blow up to $7,500 and all the other, you know, inflationary things. But property insurance obviously has reached a crisis in the state of Florida. And I don't think anything the legislature is doing is going to reduce our premiums at all. It's certainly not in the immediate future. So we're faced with all this. So we can look at all this, and we're really good about answering questions. Some of our listeners maybe had children that are 15, 16, 17 years old. What do you do about them as a driver? I got great advice. I got great advice how to limit your liability, how to keep you from being liable for the driving of your teenage child, and at the same time, how to do a cookie-cutter approach to your car insurance so that everybody's covered, and it may be different. You know, when my kids were coming up, I had $1 million of liability on my car for me, but I certainly didn't put $1 million on my kids. And there's just ways to go about it, and I can explain things face-to-face. There's just a lot more to it than meets the eye. So we will be there in Pensacola pretty much all day Tuesday, May 2nd. I will be available 12 to 4 personally, but if you come in before then, one of my sons will be happy to meet with you and so forth. But so we have pretty much set off Tuesday, May the 2nd for insurance reviews in Pensacola. Meanwhile, we're going to do the same thing in Milton. We have a great office at Highway 90 right there. If you came up Avalon, you take a right going towards Milton proper. We're right there on your right across from the Dodge dealership, 6373 Highway 90. And again, we'll be doing the same thing that Wednesday for any of our clients that are in the Pace Milton area to review in that office. And then in Crestview, we have a Crestview office as well. We'll be there on Ferndon Avenue, the heart of Crestview, which is also known as 85, but it's, you know, locals call it Ferndon. And we'll be there on Thursday morning. And then Thursday afternoon, we'll be at the Navarre office, which is on Highway 98, about 4 miles to the east of the Navarre Bridge. So we're just trying to do some face-to-face, free advice, give something back to the public. And I'm pretty stoked about it. We usually get a pretty good turnout. We usually have some coffee and donuts. It's very casual. Again, no appointment. You don't have to dress up for us. And then whatever it takes, if it takes a 15-minute consultation or 30-minute, you'll get that. And hopefully you'll walk away knowing more and better able to decide what to do with your car insurance and your homeowners.
Terry, we had a friend text in. Thank you so much for listening. You are listening to News Radio 92.3, Pensacola Expert Panel. We have Terry Gross with Gross & Schuster with us today. We had a friend text in, what is a car rental's liability when a rental car is stolen?
What is the renter's liability?
What is a car renter's liability? Yes.
I see. It's going to vary from case to case, because lawyers don't, you know, we like the facts. I mean, that seems like a black and white question, but any good lawyer can put gray area. So let's say they stole it because you left your keys in the ignition. Well, in this day and age, it's not a great idea to leave your keys in your ignition. So if you left the keys in the ignition, I think you're culpable. You were negligent in leaving the keys either in the ignition or available to a third party. So we'd have to know more about the stealing aspect of it. A lot of times with these type of claims, also you have to realize that most of us rent cars, you know, briefly. Your car goes in the shop for 4 days. You got to get a rental car. That type of thing goes on. So you still have your car insurance through your household, and many times they'll pay for various things. It just all depends on what you have and what your policy says. So we also have to look at that. So it's not anything that would be automatic, but if you're not culpable in any way, somebody, you know, like you see on TV, they got that little device that opens your door and they can hotwire it. I don't think you'd be liable for that. There'd be some kind of claim. You got a third-party criminal, excuse me, who did that. But I think we just have to look at everything and what policies. I will tell you, since you asked a rental car question, that's another thing I could discuss as far as advice, because most of us, what if you get to the airport? So you're flying somewhere, and you're renting the car, and they quote you this price, and the price sounds very reasonable, you know, for what you hear. But when you get to the desk, they want you to check this box and their insurance or whatever. Do you want this? And those agents are trained to upsell you. They're trained to upsell you to get you to buy insurance that maybe is duplicitous or you don't need. So if you got full coverage with your own policy, I often waive most of the stuff with those cars, because I have such good coverage with my own car insurance. It will cover many of the things involving that rental car, and so I don't buy the rental insurance. So I don't know if I really answered the fella's question, but without knowing more facts, that's the best I can do.
Well, I appreciate you giving him some feedback. You can always head over to News Radio 92.3 for more information. I will upload this podcast. But again, Terrence, you said they can come in for a free consultation for their car insurance and homeowners insurance, correct?
Yeah, that'll be May 2nd in Pensacola, and then it'll be May 3rd in Milton, May 4th in the morning, Crestview, and the bar. Most of our listeners, I think, are from Pensacola. But we love meeting people, and we have a lot of regular listeners, and a lot of times they just want to meet us. Some people, I've had a few people come by and just want to tour this building because of the history. I mean, we have a lot of historic pictures of Pensacola in it, and it's a piece of Pensacola. It's a remarkable building built in 1915, and I'm very glad to be here. I don't know, I got a frog in my throat all of a sudden. I have to apologize. But anyway, so these are the things that we will be talking about. But I tell you, one of the subjects that people have a hard time understanding is Florida's law relating to what I would call the dangerous instrumentality doctrine. This doctrine says that the owner of a vehicle is liable first for the injuries that the vehicle caused. Now, a lot of people struggle with this, but let's say you want to borrow my car. You just rather not rent a car. You knew I have an extra car. I'm your neighbor and we're friends. And you say, well, instead of me renting a car, can I just borrow that other car for 3 days while it's in the shop? Sure, you could do that. So if you were driving my car and you screw up, you were texting, you were just inattentive, you ran a stop sign, you cause a wreck, my insurance is primary. So even though you've got your own car insurance because you got your car or whatever, mine is going to be primary, and if my coverage is great enough, your insurance may not even get involved. So the owner of the vehicle's insurance is liable first. So once you know that rule of law, that's a very important rule of law, it sets the stage for how to look at your car insurance policy. And I'll give you the best example. This is stuff I'll discuss face-to-face, but I'll give you some tips over the air. So one of the biggest mistakes I see is you got like a husband and a wife. She's got her car that she drives. He's got his car that he drives. And invariably, a lot of people put these vehicles in joint names. So if you have a vehicle in joint names for liability purposes, that's not a real good idea. And I'll give you the example. So my wife, she drives her vehicle. It is titled in her name only. If she causes a wreck, I'm not liable. There's no theory of liability just because I'm married to her. I'm not liable for her negligence. I don't own the car, and I wasn't driving the car. I'm not liable, and they can't impair joint assets. So if we have a waterfront lot that's totally paid for, and some lawyer says, oh, we can go after that lot. Well, if my wife causes the wreck and I own the lot jointly, but we don't own the car jointly, they can't impair my asset because I'm a co-owner of the lot and I did nothing wrong and there's no negligence claim. But if you have both your names on that vehicle and an accident occurs, then you're both defendants and joint property could be subject to a judgment or whatever. So it's just a way I've insulated myself. And likewise, my car is titled only in my name. If I cause a wreck driving my car, then my wife cannot be sued. Then you get to the children, and then the children, it's a little stickier with that. So what I did with my children, and I've argued with people. I even argued at the title office, but I always prevailed because I can tell you right now, I did it. So if they tell you you can't, they're wrong. When my kids got their driving permit, which is like 15 and a half, I got, the secondhand car. I didn't get a great car, but I got a car with four wheels that drove, and we put it in their name. So even my 15 or 6-year-old kid would have a car titled solely in their name. If the vehicle is titled in their name, and the minor in my household caused a wreck, I wasn't liable. I would not have been liable. And, people want to go round and round with me, but that's the truth. So a lot of people falsely believe that a parent is automatically liable for the actions of their minor child. That's not the law in Florida. So there's always various exceptions and so forth, but the general rule is that a parent's not automatically liable for the actions of the minor child. So there's only really two different ways that a parent, well, maybe three. I can think of three off the top of my head, where a parent could be held liable for the minor child's driving. I just thought of a fourth one. I guess there's always exceptions. I'll go over them very quickly. Number one is the ownership of the vehicle, because most of us, what we do, we have the old vehicle, you bought it new, now it's 12 years old, 13 years old, and you pass it down. That's a very common thing, and you could do that still. But you can go to the title office for $10 and switch the title into their name, as opposed to keeping their name, because what you've done, if you don't switch the title and the 60-year-old causes a wreck of a vehicle you own, then you're liable. Then you're on the hook. I don't want to be the – I wasn't the smartest person in the world when I was 16. I think with age I've gotten a lot better. I did a lot of stupid things driving that I would never think of doing today. So I don't want to put myself on the hook for the discretion of a 16-year-old, whatever they're doing. So if the vehicle's titled in the name, then you escape liability that way. Number two, there is an esoteric statute. It says in order to get a driver's license, It doesn't say one of the parent pesticides, generally one of the parent signs. It says, like, I forget the exact language, but it's like a competent adult or something like that. I never signed for any of my kids to drive. So my wife did it. So I guess, and technically, until they reached 18, she would have been liable under that statute. But when my kids were driving, it was not in one of my cars that I owned, and I never signed for them to drive, so I wasn't liable that way. Now, if you give alcohol to a minor, of course you're going to be liable. So there's a way of being liable. And if the child is working for you, if you, you know, want your child to get some work experience and you have them as a runner for your business or a delivery person for your business, that's good. That's great. They get a little paycheck. They get a little money, a little experience. That's all good. But they now have become your employee, and the employer is liable for the acts of their employee, even if you've got a temporary part-time, you know, help over the summer with your child. So just things to think about, nothing to get panicky about, but you could be proactive before something happens. So always believe in an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So I like to just limit everything the best I can. So that's a good way of looking at your car insurance policy. For those people that make it with me, we certainly are going to discuss uninsured motorist coverage and stacking the benefits. If you've got four vehicles in your household and you do have uninsured motorists, you should always, always, always have stacking coverage. If you purchased $100,000 of non-stacking, then if you're in a horrible wreck, all you get is $100,000. But if you have $100,000 of stacking on four vehicles, four times $100,000 is $400,000. I see we're running out of time. It always runs quickly. But again, try to visit us here in Pensacola Tuesday, May 2nd. Mark it in the books. Bring your car insurance policies with you. That helps. Bring your homeowners. This is Terrence Gross. Call me at 850-434-3333 or visit me on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on News Radio 92.3, the Pensacola Expert Panel. I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday. You're almost there. You're almost to the end of the week.